Welcome to Harvest Beyond Sunday, a podcast that seeks to inform and equip the members of Harvest Church, as well as celebrate what God is doing in and through our body. My name is Graham Spell. I serve as the Discipleship Communities Pastor here at Harvest Church. And today I am joined by who I think has the best accent on staff, an elder and our missions pastor, Wes Seligman. Wes, you are basically the Matthew McConaughey of the Harvest staff. Welcome.
That is an atrocious introduction, but thank you. I don't know what to think about that. Appalachian accent is the real thing, so I guess people dig it.
It's the real thing. It's you've got a good one. I love it. I love it. Hey, I want part of this podcast, I want people to get to know the Harvest staff even better, so I've got some quick fire questions for you.
Let's do it.
You've got, you know, a second to think about each one. First one is your favorite national park.
Glacier National Park.
That's Glacier National Park? Where
Glacier
is that?
Glacier National Park, Montana.
Montana. All right. Best restaurant in Memphis.
Are we going fine dining or just let's go fanfare?
Whatever.
Best restaurant in Memphis. I'm going to have to go with Central Barbecue because they have the best dish in Memphis.
Ooh.
Okay. And so I'm going to go
What's the best dish
is there. I go and I get the wings. I get a six-pack of wings. They're whole wings. I get three of them in the Jamaican jerk and three of them in the dry spice. And it's my favorite thing to eat in Memphis. Wow. I don't know if it's the best restaurant, but it's okay. I'm going to have to land there because they have my favorite dish.
That's good. I went the other day and got their barbecue nachos over pork rinds.
They're great.
And that
That's
was
the best
phenomenal.
Way to do it.
It was good. I got the half order. Don't get the full order. You might regret that decision. All right. Favorite country to visit?
Ooh, mercy. That's an impossible question to answer because they're all unique. They're all tremendous. And I haven't been to them all.
Oh, okay.
So when I get done with all of the countries, I will answer that. I do love Africa. I love all the continents. I can't answer that for you.
That was a very diplomatic answer from a missions pastor. Well done.
Yep.
Favorite book of the Bible?
2 Timothy.
Mm. Why?
It's a personal letter from one man to one man, and it is rich and powerful. Genesis is up there. I love Matthew. I love a ton of books in the Old Testament as well.
2 Timothy.
Rich. Yeah, but 2 Timothy.
Love it.
What's yours?
I would say right now I'm studying Judges, and a pastor of the church we went to in Dallas always said his favorite book of the Bible is whatever he's currently studying. So right now I'm studying Judges and Philippians and thoroughly enjoying both of those.
Okay.
So
I won't judge you for that.
Yeah, that was good. All right, last one. You can take one music album on a deserted island. Who do you take?
One music album, Christian or non-Christian?
You tell me, whatever you want. You got one music album.
Let's go non-Christian.
What would you take if, all right, let's go two. You get a Christian album and you get a non-Christian album. How about that?
Christian album is Jesus Culture, Come Away. That would probably be the one I take. Non-Christian album, I'm going Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger.
Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger. I'm going to look that up later. Got to listen to that.
It's an outlaw, cold killing love ballad.
Okay, there we go. Hey, Wes, I've gotten to know you pretty well over the last 15 months. And when I have a guest on this podcast, I want to celebrate their story, their redemption story. And so if you don't mind, give us 2 to 3 minutes of who is Wes Seligman and how did you find yourself in this missions path? Pastor role over the last 38 years.
I turned 40 this year. So
40.
Math is a little off,
but
that's
good.
Okay.
I'll
be in Turkey when I turn 40. So that's exciting. So I grew up in a Christian influence with my family. I got saved about 8 or 9 years old, understood the gospel, and was baptized in a church that my grandfather helped plant in Crossville, Tennessee. Soon after that, though, my parents divorced, and it really had a major impact on my life. And me and my brother, my dad got custody, so we were awarded to him, and for a while it was just us three dudes, and we would roll into church late, but my dad always made sure I had a dollar in my pocket to put in the offering plate. Funny story, one time he didn't have a dollar bill, So he counted out 100 pennies for me, and I walked into church with 100 pennies in my, and I dropped those dudes in the offering plate. It made an awful racket. But grew up in church. Now, the challenge was I was around church. I understood the gospel, but I didn't understand my identity or my purpose in Christ. So eventually, late high school, college area of my life, I was just pursuing the flesh. And that was pursuing parties and girls. And I still made good grades, but I was just sowing seeds for the flesh, doing whatever I wanted to do. Eventually, I got married and got back into church, and the Lord began to work on my heart through really the influence of my brother and how the Lord saved him and changed his life. Then I got connected with Downline. I did Downline Online while we were living in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I told Steve Winstead, I said, hey, man, I want to go on an international mission trip. So I got a passport, and five dudes rolled into Sri Lanka on 2012. And man, my perspective was changed forever after that. And then 2013, I went. I said, Steve, every year you count me in. You need me to go someplace, I'm there. And he invited me to Zambia. While we were in Zambia, that's when I had the call to ministry. I was a professional forester, had been doing that for many years. I loved my career in forestry, but the Lord changed my direction from a vocational standpoint and then confirmed it in mine and my wife's heart. So we spent time in prayer, and then eventually I just kept traveling with Downline and Harvest, and then Bill called and said, you want to move to Memphis? I said, no, sir. And he said, well, why don't you consider it? And then the Lord said, you're moving to Memphis. And we said, no, sir. And then he was just persistent, and he won. So we're here. We love it. I had your role previously.
You did.
But you're doing a much better job than I did. So kudos to you. And now I get to do missions for Harvest Church. I love it.
That's right. It's pretty cool how God orchestrated all those events to align you and the missions role and me in this role. And it's been fun hearing Bill talk about the timeline of that with us, and just God's hand was all over it. But, well, you're probably a little over 15 months in the missions pastor role. And, I was told one time that year one on any new job is, learning, year two is implementing, year three is thriving. And so, you're entering into year two, almost halfway into it. How's it going?
So far, so good. I would agree with that statement. Year one was a lot of learning, and Steve was very good at his job and very good at building relationships. And not only that, but Harvest has been blessed with the ability to really engage both financially, but just spiritually and relationally with so many partners in our city and around the globe. And he left rather quickly. So it was a quick transition and a quick dump. And so the first year was just, who do we have? What are they doing? What's the history been? What's their vision moving forward? A lot of learning. And of course, it was during COVID, so travel was a little difficult, but I still traveled to several places. I'm still learning. There is a large platform of missions partners that, you know, we have a relationship with. And then every week I get hit with four or five new ones, people wanting to partner with us. So learning the whole gamut of missions has been a huge portion of year one, but going well so far.
Yeah, the COVID-19 pandemic is definitely a huge hurdle to get over with all the travel restrictions and figuring that out and what countries are open, what countries aren't.
I got to have an entire row to myself in November of 2020 when I went to Serbia. It was delightful. I just slept the whole way.
That is one of the plus sides of this thing. Well, hey, tell us, why missions? I know we get to see you for about 3 to 5 minutes every Sunday, come up and do a missions moment. And I just want to give you a little bit longer to tell us why missions? Why are we so passionate about it here at Harvest?
But that's a fantastic question, and really we could do about 10 hours of podcast on missions from a theological standpoint, from a world standpoint, from a church standpoint, an individual standpoint. But you got to start with God. You have to start with the fact that God has been on a mission from moment one, from the time that He breathed us out and created light, created everything we know to exist. He's been on mission to be with us, to be amongst us. And in fact, it says in the scriptures that God's dwelling place is with man. And he's been on mission. And of course, we know from the scriptures that that sin came in to the world and messed that fellowship with God that we had in Eden. It just messed it up, wrecked it. And so now we're distant, we're separated from God. And he's made a plan to be on mission, to send Christ to not just pay for our sins, but to be in communion and fellowship with us. And so now the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, now dwells amongst us as believers. But again, it's still not complete. There's a day coming when we will again dwell with God in the new heavens and new earth. And specifically, when you read those passages in Revelation 21 and 22 and other portions of your Bible, we love to focus on the new heaven and new earth. That's what people think about. But when in Revelation 21 and 22, new heaven and new earth gets one verse. New Jerusalem gets all the rest. And that's the dwelling place with God. There's no temple. And that's where all the nations, all the people groups are gathered. So missions begins with God is on mission to rescue the world. Now, in addition to that, there are people who don't know Jesus, who don't know that there is a God pursuing them. And in the meantime, he commissions us as believers to pursue them, to pursue the ends of the earth, to pursue people in our neighborhood, down the street from us, and across the globe in order to bring the gospel, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to tell them, hey, there's a God who made you, loves you, and wants to be with you forever and ever in eternity. And you're separated from him right now. And so the Bible commissions us to be on missions. We see that in Acts 1:8. We see it in the Great Commission and in plenty of other Great Commission passages. And the challenge is enormous. I looked up the numbers today. 7.8 billion people on planet Earth, according to Operation World, and 5.3 billion people do not follow Jesus. That's almost 70%. Almost 70% of planet Earth does not follow Jesus. And of that 70%, I'd say probably half don't even know who he is, don't even exist. Why missions? Because God's on mission, and we have a privilege of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere on this planet, and people are suffering without it.
Mm, that's good stuff. Thanks for sharing that. I love mission moments are one of my favorite parts of Sunday mornings, and so thanks for doing those. And as your brother said on Sunday, lifting our eyes from our surroundings and allowing us to see God's creation and God's people. Well, we are coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic and trips are really ramping up here at Harvest. Where have we been over the last few months?
Over the last few months, I'm going to backtrack to over the last year. We have had some small teams go and visit some of our mission partners. Some countries have been difficult to get into or even resistant. I mean, we're not allowed to go in over the course of the pandemic, but others have been open. So we've been to Serbia, we've been to Uganda, Belize, El Salvador, Turkey, Ethiopia, and maybe one or two others, but those are the main ones we've been to and had some small teams, and man, some phenomenal stories from those trips. And you're right, trips are ramping up. It's time for us to, as you said a minute ago, lift our eyes and re-engage the world and kind of, you know, do it with intelligence. We don't go kicking a hornet's nest. We're not foolish, but it's also time to lay down some fears that are hampering us.
And so you have a really cool story from El Salvador, long-term partnership we've had and the blessing that's come from that. Share that with us real quick.
Yeah, I shared about this on a missions moment too. Such a neat story of what is happened in El Salvador. So basically, beginning in about 2007, training teams, this is before Harvest ever even existed, training teams began going to El Salvador and met a man named Pastor Mauricio Barrientos. And he the Great Commission got a hold of him. He actually stood up in front of his congregation of hundreds of people, maybe 1,000, because they may have been having a missions conference, and repented in front of, this is the leader of this entire church organization, and repented and said, I've been focused on evangelism, but not discipleship. And now I see the strategy. Mm-hmm. So that was in the 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. All right. So teams kept going, and they already had church plants in El Salvador. And so what are we, 15 years later, Bill Garner and I got to go down there and check on them. And Pastor Mauricio passed from COVID, and his son-in-law has taken over the church about 2 years ago. And just to see, hey, how are things going? And they were having an international missions conference while we were there. So 15 years ago, they were not a disciple-making all-nations movement. They were a small network of churches that loved the Lord and had solid preaching. But now they were celebrating the fact that they had planted over 8 churches with 2 more on the way, not all of them in El Salvador. Some of them are in Central America. And they've sent out 7 or 8 missionaries across the globe to places that truly are honestly are difficult for Americans to get into. And now El Salvador, this little nation in Central America, is beginning to be a sending nation, an all nations disciple making movement. And we just got to sit back and enjoy and visit and train the pastors and the staff and just encourage. It's amazing. It's amazing what the Lord has done down there. And we're going to continue the partnership. There's still more work to be done.
Yeah. And I think we have a women's trip going down there later on this year, hopefully.
Well, it's going to be men's and women's.
Oh,
originally,
great.
It was going to be a women's trip.
Okay.
But they've requested that we teach biblical manhood and womanhood in El Salvador. It's going to be in late May, we think. And so I'm looking for some folks that want to go teach. We have lessons from Downline that are plug and play. All you have to do is study a lesson, and the people are so beautiful and lively and warm and welcome. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous nation too. We got to hike up to the top of a volcano. Like, you get to do some fun stuff on these mission trips beyond the spiritual beauty that exists.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I believe I remember you saying that Bill was preaching a sermon down there and had been preparing for this sermon for a couple of weeks, and got down there and he's getting up to preach, and he realizes that the passage that he is prepared for was the theme verse for that conference. And he didn't know that.
That's right. It was John 4. Weeks before we were traveling down there, he was just in his own devotional time, was in John 4. And he knew he was going to be given a lesson in being able to minister to all the church plant pastors. And he just wrote out on the side of his Bible, El Salvador. Mm. And then we got down there, and that was that entire passage was the theme of the conference. Mm. So it was unbelievable. You can't plan that. That's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit guiding our steps as we are the hands and feet and bringing the good news around the globe. That's what he says in the Great Commission. Yeah. Lo, I'm with you to the very end of the age. That's evidence of the Great Commission, that he's with us.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved hearing that. And I got to go with you to Belize with seven other guys. And that was a really fun trip. We got to go visit Dino and Melissa Roseland, one of our missions partners down there. They operate a dairy farm called the Country Barn, and they invest in young men in Belize. And it was really fun, very impactful trip. A lot of those guys, their lives are just transformed forever, I think. And it was a huge, huge blessing. Most of us painted, except for Bill Garner and Luke Riley. You want to tell them the story?
Yeah. This was fantastic. A lot of our trips are built around teaching training, but many of them are just built around serving our missionary partners with whatever they need. And in Belize, down there at the Country Barn, they need updates. And so oftentimes we go with a little team and do some construction work or something. And this year it was painting. And we're in El Salvador, and I'm telling Bill, he's like, so what are we going to do in Belize? I said, well, I'm not sure, but I think we're going to be doing a lot of painting. And even then, he just sort of, you know, grumbles, I hate painting. I'm not painting. I don't want to paint. So we get there, and yeah, sure enough, we got 5-gallon buckets full of paint. Bill looks at Dino and says, hey, I hate painting, and just really playing it up. I'm not a painter. You got something else I can do? Well, next thing we know, they're off to the store to buy rubber boots, tall rubber boots, because their role was shoveling poo and pee from the cows, and it was almost knee deep, and they spent an entire day. While we were fellowshipping and asking good questions, talking about family discipleship, painting in the shade a lot of times, Bill Garner spent an entire day shoveling poo, and he tried to grumble about it, and of course we shut him down. But he faithfully shoveled sand and poo all week long.
He did.
Because he's a warrior. We call him the Stallion, and there's a reason.
He had a blast with Luke, and Luke was washing his clothes every night in the shower, and not once did I hear either of them complain, though. They loved it.
They didn't.
And they invested in those guys and had good relationships, and they got to really know those guys, and we still couldn't even beat them in an arm wrestling competition when we tried after all that work. But I love that trip. It was really fun. I think it was an encouragement to Dino and Melissa, who've been down there and haven't had any visitors since COVID started. And I think they were greatly encouraged by our visit. And it was fun to see how they're impacting those men that are down there that work for them and the difference they're making in the community. Hey, so tell us real quick, we have 1,500 members here at Harvest. Who should go on these trips? Who should go on what trips?
Everyone. It's a short answer. In all sincerity, I think if at all possible, every follower of Christ should step outside of the United States and go see this world that our Lord has created and go see these people that are made in God's image and just step out and get a global vision. And it's never been easier. Well, in terms of just transportation, it's never been easier. COVID obviously has made it a little bit more difficult, but in the history of the world, it's never been easier to travel around the globe. And we can be on the other side of the world in 36 hours or less. So everyone should, in my opinion. Now, I'm a traveler and I love it. And I understand there are people out there that just says, I'm not going to do that. And that's okay. You help pay for us who want to go. How about that? Mm-hmm. Continue to contribute funds and pray. But you can experience the nations here locally as well. You can mm-hmm. experience the nations in Carville, Germantown, Memphis, wherever you live. And so if you're not going to travel, mm-hmm. if that's just, you're just, you know, digging your feet in and you're not going to get on the plane and go, or you can't for whatever reason, then experience the nations here locally at least. Lift your eyes up outside of our little comfortable bubble mm-hmm. and get going. So everyone, in my opinion, should go. Now, who should go on what trips? I think anyone could go on any trip, to be honest with you, unless mm-hmm. it's a designated men's trip or a designated woman's trip. We do have some trips that are more family-friendly than others. And those are Alaska and our Serbia trips. Next week, we're going to be recording a video about the Serbia trip, but I'll give you a little taste here. And essentially, we're going to be partnering with our missions partner, Slogin, over there, and the HUB, which is a teaching, training, organizational Bible institute. But they also do Camp Hope. They partner with Johnny Erickson Tata, Johnny and Friends, and do Camp Hope. And minister to families with children with disabilities. And in Serbia, if you have a child with a disability, they pretty much see that that's a result of sin in your life. And they're pretty much treated like a leper where you're cast out. So these families don't have, they're already dealing with something that's difficult. And then their supposed church community shuns them. And so here steps in Camp Hope that shows them love, mm-hmm. that has fun, that has a volunteer dedicated specifically one-on-one for this child with a disability. So you're not shunned, you're loved, you're embraced. And we get to go and be a part of that. And so I'm planning on taking my daughter, and I'm excited. Kevin Furness is going to lead 1 week. I'm going to lead 1 week. We're doing 2 weeks back-to-back there. So that's a family-friendly trip, and Alaska is family-friendly. But all of our trips, even if it's a teaching training trip and you think, I don't have the gift of teaching, I've never taught overseas. Well, that's true for anyone who's ever taught overseas. There was always a first time, and we can prepare you and we can give you one lesson months in advance to pray for and prepare for and train and teach and equip. And so that's easy. So anyone can go anywhere as long as it's not a male or a female trip. Mm. You're leading a couple trips. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I'm leading one at the end of April to Honduras and one back to Belize in December. And I'm really excited about that. It was really impactful. And, you know, my next question would be, what is a member going to get out of a trip? What are they going to experience? What are they going to take away from it? And, you know, one of the things I would add to that is our Belize trip is I saw guys operating outside of their comfort zone. And discovering some of their gifts. You know, every morning a guy got to lead a devotional and they got this itch to teach. And now they're leading a men's Bible study group. We got to see Jordan Hall. He was journaling every night. And I was wondering what he was working on. Man, this guy's really in tune with his heart and writing out his feelings and what he's experiencing. And I think he was doing a little bit of that, but he was writing out his testimony in Spanish to give it at a gospel presentation we did in the village. It was awesome. And he walked up there. I thought he was just going to share his testimony. And then he starts speaking in Spanish. And all of us are looking at him like, Jordan's what? Does Jordan speak Spanish? And he's just dusting off his old high school Spanish skills and giving it a shot. And he did well.
That was an unbelievable moment. I mean, he just shocked us all.
Yeah.
He didn't tell anyone. Awesome.
He didn't tell anybody.
So
kept
humble.
It to himself.
Kept it to itself. And then just, I mean, waylaid it for about 7, 8, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In Spanish.
Just in Spanish.
Straight. So it was unbelievable.
It was cool.
That was a cool moment. But yep. You're absolutely right. To answer your question, it's a little bit impossible because the Lord uniquely speaks to every person who goes on a mission trip. I've never had anybody go on a trip and come back and be like, that was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't, like, that was a waste of my time and talents and resources. That was terrible. I've never heard anyone say that. So the Lord does uniquely speak to people what they need to hear if their eyes and ears are open. So you can expect that just from the get-go. And I can't tell you what it'll be. Mm-hmm. And it's something different for me. As many trips as I go on, he always speaks to me something personal and something mm-hmm. specific in my life. So in general, I think you can expect to for God to minister to you mm-hmm. through this journey. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I think you can expect is to encounter some beautiful, wonderful, just lovely brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. It is so comforting to go across the globe, meet a human being you've never seen before. Maybe you don't even speak the same language, and you can immediately hug and embrace one another and laugh and giggle and pray and cry and serve, and you're just on the same team. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit. They're just this uniting power. Mm-hmm. So experiencing and seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ and getting phone numbers and getting photos by the end of the, you know, you're nervous on the front end. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet somebody for the first time, you're a little bit nervous by the end of it, you're high-fiving, you're texting, you're laughing, you've got an inside joke.
Yep.
It's just, it's tremendous. Yep. Or arm wrestling, like, you know, we had the arm wrestling competition with those guys in Belize and we got whooped. But it's not true. Actually, I put him down, but I was called out for cheating. I'm not sure, you know, whatever. There's an asterisk there. Then the second thing is you can expect to be used.
Yep.
There's a false assumption that in the American church, and this comes straight from the enemy. It's so sad. It's like he just wants you to think that God can't and doesn't want to use you and you have nothing to offer. And you can expect to go on these trips and be used in a way that maybe you expected, but maybe you didn't. Mm-hmm. And it just feels good to be an instrument in the master's hands. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Yep.
So God will speak to you. You'll meet your brothers and sisters, and it'll be glorious, and God will use you.
That's great stuff. All right, let's land the plane on this
episode. That's a Kenan phrase.
And what are you excited about this year?
Oh my goodness. I am selfishly excited about all the places I'm personally going. Hitting up a lot of countries that I've never been to. In the first 3 years of my job, I've challenged myself to visit as many of our partners that I've never visited before, some I had visited in the past, I've never visited before, to see how they're doing, remind them that we love them, we're with them. And also, if we want to send teams down there, I need to go experience it myself. I need to see it so I can help prepare these teams. So I'm heading to Colombia, Turkey, Honduras, Serbia, which I've been there before, but the difference is the Camp Hope. Going back to Belize. It's technically not a mission trip, doing a wedding down there. And then I'm going to Nepal, and then I'm going to Southern Asia to visit a partner. I can't tell you who and where that is. And so I'm selfishly excited about that. But I'm also excited. People are beginning to become more and more curious. Our body is excited about serving on these international trips. And we focused most of this podcast on the international portion of this. Mm-hmm. I'm also excited about Julius James and Hayden Chavez, who are part of the missions team. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about our missions committee, which is a combination of lay leaders and elders who are serving. And Julius and Hayden are doing a tremendous job spearheading local missions. There is so much serving you can do. You're driving 10 to 30 minutes down the road, depending upon you, where you live. So I'm thrilled about our strengthening our relationships locally as well as internationally. And then one other thing I'm excited about is growing the advocacy team. So the advocacy team is, let's say, Graham, you know, you got to experience Dino and Melissa. And if you said, hey, Wes, I'd like to be an advocate for Dino and Melissa. So what that means is that, you know, three or four times a year, you're going to reach out to them, maybe on a Zoom call or a phone call, or maybe you're texting every other week or something simple. You're just communication. How you doing? Throughout the week, you might pray for them. You're going to read their newsletters. And let's say he tells you something that's going on down there in Belize that I'm not aware of. And now you can come and tell us as the mission staff, and oh man, I didn't even know that was happening. Let's talk with him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about growing this advocacy team. And if there's anyone listening that wants to be an advocate for a local or missions or international missions partner, send me an email or Julius an email, wes@harvestmemphis.org or julius@harvestmemphis.org. And we'd love to get you connected.
As you're listening to this, whether you listen to it the day it came out or weeks down the road, there's a chance that Wes or a team from Harvest is in a different country or serving locally. Maybe you just pause this podcast and pray for those trips and the people on them. You might not know who's on it, but just pray for our trips and that God would work in them and through them, and that the kingdom would be furthered. I invite you to pause and just take a moment and pray. Wes, how can we be praying for our missions partners right now?
Well, without a doubt, the easiest thing to do is go by Connection Central, and we have this pray earnestly. I'm holding one in my hand here. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And that's a booklet with a prayer guide to every one of our partners and our church planters. Church planting is also a function of missions here at Harvest. So that's one easy thing to do. Another thing is we have a Harvest Missions Facebook page that's gaining followers, and we post these and other updates on that page about serving opportunities and also ways to pray. We're going to be starting a monthly newsletter as well to get out some additional information. So pick up this, and then, but the simplest thing, actually pray, just do it. Just when you hear about it, when you hear about a country, you hear about a partner, or even in a missions moment, after that, just pray, even if it's 30 seconds, actually pray at your breakfast table with your kids, wherever. In your home, actually pray. Driving down the road, you ever pray with your eyes open while driving out loud? It's fun.
Yep, it's good. It's good. Thanks for bringing up that Pray Earnestly to the Lord of the Harvest book. We actually snagged one of those, and we started that last Sunday with our family during our family devotional time on Sunday, and we prayed for the Bridges family. And so it's a great resource. It's broken down by date, and it takes the worry out of what to pray. So pick up a Pray Earnestly to the Lord of the Harvest books at Connection Central. Any books you'd recommend, Wes, for our members?
Oh, my goodness. The Let the Nations Be Glad book by John Piper is a tremendous book. It's all about the goal of everything is to have worldwide worship of the God of the Bible. So I recommend that one. I'm currently reading this. I've got it sitting here. God Dwells Among Us. And it's not really, it is a missions kind of book, but it's really about, it says expanding Eden to the ends of the earth. And so it'll expound further on that question you asked me earlier, why missions? But I could give you 10 more. We'll save that for another podcast. We'll do a book review.
There we go.
Missions book review podcast.
There you go. Well, Wes, thank you so much for joining us. You are a great encouragement to me. You are very pastoral. I love the way that you care for the nations and your heart for them. And not only that, but the way that you care for members of our body. So I look up to you and I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful we have you at Harvest. Thanks for joining us this week. And we look forward to posting more podcasts as the days go on.